several things are going on. Moses has died. The people of Israel have finally crossed the Jordan River, and they are about to take on their second major obstacle with God's help. The first one, of course, was the Jordan River. I'd like us to take just a couple of minutes and read the chapter. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance! March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests, carrying the 7 trumpets, went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to camp. And they did this for 6 days. On the 7th day they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go to his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. And Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Now, as an aside, if you would like to see what the Lord thought about Joshua's curse, go look in 1 Kings, and you will find that there is a fellow who either apparently hadn't read the curse or didn't care. And it did not go well with his children. Our scripture reading this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith those walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Back in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 7, God had promised to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and to his descendants. At this point, Joshua was leading the Israelites, and they were at the brink of the possession of the land. Now, it had been a long time since that promise had been made, but the people still remembered that promise. No doubt the Israelites had been taught a lot about this land flowing with milk and honey, and they were waiting for it. The generation that was standing before Jericho had wandered around in the desert for 40 years waiting for the rebellious parents to die. Because the last time they were at this brink, they didn't mind. They came into the land, and Jericho was the first prominent city that they came across, because this is where the trade routes met, and it stood in their way of inheriting the land. Now, the wall around Jericho was approximately 14 feet thick, and it was very high. Now, this is an archaeologist's impression of what the Jericho of Joshua's day looked like. We're not 100% sure, because apparently Jericho has been occupied for a very, very long time. And if you read in the news last week, they have found new remains at the archaeological dig here of Jericho, wherein they found a stunning number of buildings that were scorched, which matches very closely with what the Bible says happened at Jericho. But just to give you some impression of what that wall might have looked like, this piece that's dug down is a tower. They're not exactly sure what function the tower served. It might have been a watchtower for the people to look out over the gates. 14 feet thick, and the masonry, according to the archaeologists, is very good. It's not like the wall was unstable. Now, God had some very specific instructions for the people of Israel. In verse 2, he said, walk around the city one time for 6 days. Now, militarily, it sounds, quite frankly, a little silly to expose your entire force to the people of Jericho. How many of you have seen the VeggieTales version of this? Okay, about half of you. I have some issues with the VeggieTales version of this, because in the VeggieTales version, they're being taunted by the French peas. As the people of Israel look up and they're like, you will not break down our wall. However, more realistically, you have people who are at least walking the circumference of this city outside of bowshot range. It's not like the people of Israel were giving them the people of Jericho free pot shots every day. They walked a long way around the outskirts of this city. We have 7 priests who are blowing on 7 horns. You have a couple of 4 priests who are carrying the ark. I like this picture for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I don't like this picture is it looks like the priests are in front, and we just read that the priests aren't in front. Where are the priests? They're smack dab in the middle, because they've got a vanguard going first, they've got a rear guard going last, but of course they had to make the circle somewhere. You'll note that in this picture, the walls of Jericho are lined with very fearful people. Rahab tells us that these people are living in dread of the Israelites coming. The people were not to say a word during the first 6 times on their march around Jericho, according to verse 10. Now, for drill instructors, this may actually be a little easier. For the teachers out there, myself included, I can tell you that getting a class of 30 students to be quiet for half an hour is an accomplishment. getting an army the size of this army to march all the way around the city in silence would be impressive. On the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times. This was a long day for them to march around that city seven times. After the seventh march, we have the blast on the ram's horns. How many of you have been to the Bethlehem Walk here locally? A couple of times they've had one of these ram's horns with them, and one of the guys has blown that. And yes, it's stunningly loud. And you really, the area that they have for that is not adequate for the volume of that horn. These seven horns are noisy. The people of Jericho knew that the people of Israel were there. Of course, the people of Israel obeyed. Those walls fell just as God said they would. And they destroyed the entire city as they had been instructed, and only Rahab was saved. Now, there are some lessons that we can learn in modern times from this incident. One of them comes from Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Marching around a city is not a good way to conquer it, militarily speaking. In this particular case, what they were doing is obeying God. Quite frankly, from a military standpoint, showing what you got is not a good idea. Showing what you've got to the same people for 6 days in a row is not a good idea. But this was God's plan, and so the Israelites said, "Okay, we'll mind, because we know what happened to our parents who didn't." God's way accomplished the goal that he had in mind. And if his God's way worked at Jericho, it seems that his purposes can be accomplished today by doing things in his way. There are several things that God asks us to do that occasionally we have difficulties doing. One of the ones that came to mind was baptism. Sometimes we just need to have the faith to do what God says and expect that to succeed. If you look at the instructions on baptism, they're really pretty plain. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now there's another one in Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 16. "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, and call on his name." Well, we have a lot of people who do not understand baptism, and as a result, don't do it. But you know, the Bible is pretty clear. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. Many people question the effectiveness of baptism, but it seems to be God's way. And God has proven repeatedly that his way will work whether we like it or not. Our God is indeed an awesome God. The walls fell down because God took the walls down. I read a fascinating article where archaeologists were trying to explain in a very physics-oriented manner how the walls of Jericho fell down. And they have this theory called sonic dissonance, where the vibrations of the horns hit just the right note to set the rocks vibrating, and so they fell down from catastrophic failure. In my humble opinion, you have to work pretty hard to make that theory work on a 14-foot thick wall. God caused the walls of Jericho to collapse just like he said he would, because the Israelites minded him. The walls fell because God unleashed his mighty power and let it be known. God's power brought into existence the earth on which we live. He brought about a complex solar system. He brought about our bodies. Fascinating things. People have devoted entire lifetimes to studying our body. People have devoted entire lifetimes to studying pieces of our bodies. Strangely enough, I couldn't find a picture of the souls that God imbued us with. But that's a fascinating concept that you can get into in the book of Genesis. There are things that we know about that boggle the most intelligent minds on earth. Me, I look at that and go, wow, that's a pretty picture. And quite frankly, that's most that I get out of that picture. It's a galaxy, by the way. This was put together by the power of God. That's a galaxy, folks. If God constructed these galaxies, how hard was it for him to knock down a wall? My thought is not very. I show you all these things to remind us of the power of God. The fall of the walls of Jericho was not a big deal for God. There is a relationship between grace, faith, and obedience. The promises in the Bible that come without caveat are few and far between. Usually, the promises in the Bible start with, if you will obey me, if you will honor me. And then there are stunning blessings and promises offered to us all. Hebrews chapter 11 that we read earlier said that they trusted and did what God said, so they received that blessing. Now those people could have debated at length how much they believed in God, but sitting in camp talking about their faith didn't get the job done. They actually had to get up and go walk around the city. We are saved by faith. According to Romans 5, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to the grace in which we now stand. Many people do not understand how salvation is by faith, but there's something that we need to do. Faith avails mostly when it obeys. The walls of Jericho fell by faith after the Israelites walked around them for 7 days, like they were told. Surely even today, that obedience is a necessary part of our relationship to God. The Israelites did as they required. They were required, and they were blessed because they minded. Likewise, faith saves us when it moves us to obey God's commands. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. This is a verse we went through this morning in class. Has to do with obedience joining together with faith. Start in verse 24 and it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Y'all can hear all you want. You can believe all you want. But until you start to obey, it doesn't do you any good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, faith should be what motivates us in our entire life. Irony is one of those things that just catches my attention. In this story, it is ironic that through their lack of faith, the 10 spies who came in the previous generation, who gave the evil report, they listed as one of the reasons that they couldn't take the land was they have walled cities. And in order to find the walled cities, you have to read the King James Version in the NIV, what it calls them as fortified cities. But through their lack of faith, they were not able to accomplish anything. and they were destroyed. And I'd like to look at that for just a minute. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days, you explore the land. You will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness, and here they will die. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it, these men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh survived. Now, Joshua and Caleb are fascinating characters. You only read about Caleb twice. The next time you see Caleb, he is an old, old man. And quite frankly, he's full of it. Because he said, you know what? I was one of the two spies that God blessed. And he said, I could have whatever land I wanted. And Joshua said, yes, he did. Name it. And as an 80-year-old man, Caleb looked at Joshua and said, me and my boys are going to take the mountains. Because you know what's in the mountains? The giants, and they have fortified cities, and me and my boys are going to take them out. That's a paraphrase, by the way. But he was in good shape at 80 years old, and his faith in the Lord had not wavered. Let us have the kind of faith that moves us to trust and obey what we hear the Lord say. God will keep his promises. The walls fell down because God said they would fall down. God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, and they are sure and steadfast. If you look in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 11, he says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Another promise we have received. Okay, sorry. Let's keep going in Hebrews. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have another promise in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. There were two spies who went out from Joshua to Jericho, and they walked in the steps of God. And as they kept their promise to Rahab, we need to keep our promises. Psalms 15 talks about the importance of promises. David says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? Skip down to verse 4. He's got a list of people. But verse 4 says, the one who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their minds. No, we are not under the same law that they were. But perhaps it ought to make us be very careful about making promises, particularly promises that we cannot keep. Once we make promises, we need to fulfill those promises. There are interesting and vital lessons to be learned from the ancient city of Jericho All of these things were involved in that defeat. God made a promise to the people of Israel. God gave them very specific instructions about how to take Jericho. The Israelites had the faith that God would do what He told them He would do, and then they obeyed Him and marched around the city. The power of God was demonstrated to them when those walls fell down, and they had their reward for their trust and their obedience to Him. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." The endurance? By the time the people of Israel, had conquered Jericho, it had been more than 440 years since God made the original promise. That's endurance. To continue to believe that yes, we will inherit the land of Canaan as God promised us. The Scriptures produce patience and they give us comfort. Without the Scriptures or studying and relying on them and obeying them, there is no hope of us being saved eternally. We need to learn and take heed from the lessons of the past. Jesus Christ Himself was baptized. Why? He told John why. He said, "Because it is the will of the Father that it be so." If you would like this morning to learn more about how to obey the will of the Father, how to be a Christian and in the will and faith of God, by all means, as we come forward and we stand and as we sing, we have brothers who will come forward and aid you. Would you join us as we stand and as we sing?
When we walk with God.